Hello out there, and welcome to Work with Miles Okazaki, where I share a few things I've picked up over the years as a guitarist and composer in New York City. If you like what you hear, you could go over to Patreon and become a member for a very small fee and have access to video versions of all of these episodes and others that aren't included here. Download materials such as sheet music and exercises, and have the ability to ask me questions directly and request topics for new episodes. This program focuses on the guitar, but goes into many other areas, so there should be something for everyone. And the show starts now. All right, welcome back. Some people have been asking me about talking about Bach and how I find his music useful in my practice routine. I think everyone loves to practice Bach. It just sounds good. It's fun, universal, awesome music. And challenging and fundamentally instructive on how to make good melodies and harmony and everything. So I have talked a little bit about working with the chorales, and today I would like to look at something from the violin sonatas and partitas. So the violin sonatas and partitas are written around 1720, so they're about 300 years old. Not really performed much as far as I know during Bach's lifetime, discovered later and made famous by, you know, a number of people, and now are foundational to the repertoire of that instrument. On guitar, the violin music is convenient to read because it just goes down to this G, you know? That's the lowest note on the violin. I mean, that's the lowest written note on the violin. Of course, the violin low string sounds like here, you know, sounds like this G, but we can play it and everything just sounds an octave low. It's a pretty good range for guitar. And there are many things that are challenging, but it's still, because it's a stringed instrument, you know, the fugues and stuff don't get too crazy. Like, it's not like trying to read a piano fugue, you know, one of the fugues from the well-tempered clavier or something like that. Most of those are unplayable on guitar, like, in their entirety. But a lot of these you can play. In fact, I did a recording of this whole sonata, the slow opening movement, and then the long, long fugue, and then this largo third movement, and then the fast allegro assai finishing movement. I did some recording of that. I'll find it. I'll put a link to it in this post. So that's just me messing around at home, but you can hear me playing this whole thing. And it's not in such a traditional way, like on classical. I did it on classical and I did it on electric as well. So, but this final movement ties into some of the stuff that we were just working on, especially the picking stuff and the reading stuff as well, of course. So, you know, I'll look at this as if I'm just looking at it for the first time. And I will put a little screenshot of the passage. It looks like we could look at maybe like the first four systems of this, I think would be good. First glance, allegro assai, key signature, no sharps, no flats. Okay, no problem. So we've got C major or A minor, something like that. And looking at the range, it looks pretty reasonable. The highest note I see there is a B flat up above the staff. So that's not very high on guitar. That all looks good. So then the question is, well, where do we start? Let me just warm up and get my C major stuff together. So, you know, as I think about major scales, I think about them as filled out pentatonic scales. So if I just outline my C major sort of matrix on the guitar, that would be something like this. That's off the fifth, you know, down here. And then I got this one. guitar player knows. And then this one, starting off the root, right? And I've got this one off the two. And I got them off the six, I mean off the three, sorry. So then if I fill those in by just adding an F and a B to every scale. So, you know, if I play the C pentatonic, it doesn't have an F and it doesn't have a B. But if I add those notes, I just get the major scale, right? So here it is on around the third fret. Right, and then the next position is going to be up here, what we might call Aeolian. Right, and then we got this, what we might call Locrian, but it also contains what we call Ionian. It's in the same position, right? Because it's just governed by this pentatonic shape filling in the sand. So you can start it here, or you can start it here. Either way, it's in the same place. So, you know, six, one half dozen of the other. Then you got this Dorian. Then you have this Phrygian / Lydian. Phrygian / Lydian, because again, it's the same. This pentatonic that I'm playing off the third, I'm playing a C major pentatonic off the third, so it's sort of like a Phrygian. And when you fill it in, put the F and the B in there, it becomes a Phrygian. But you can start the Lydian. It's in the same position, right? Okay, so those are the scales. So then I look at this and I say, okay, now I've got my C major kind of in my mind, right? Well, what do we have here? We got this thing. You could play it, you know. I could play it up here. Maybe. Let me make sure that you can see my hands in the camera here. All right. So I'm looking at this. Could play it here. Could play it here. Where would you go? All right. Or here. Or here. I can already tell this is no good because it's too awkward and it's using a bunch of open strings, and using open strings in something like this is difficult. As you know, the open strings are harder to control and like mix into the middle of a line and stuff like that. Much easier to do fingered notes. So, or I could go. But I don't like to start on such a weird finger. I feel like this needs a stronger position. So I'm playing third position now. So maybe my next position up is here. Then my next position up is here. My next position up is here. Then my next position is here. Okay, definitely not this. Not this. This is still too high up on the neck to be playing. I don't need to be playing these melodies on the fourth string. Okay. In general, I'm going to err towards playing it on higher strings, you know, if I can, you know. That's pretty good. That's all right. And then so good. Too low on the neck, to open strings and all that. So I'm kind of between. See how that first phrase feels. So everything I do in terms of fingering is like, how does it feel? Just first impression. And I try to play it as fast as I can because this is supposed to be fast. Okay. So I feel like there's so much resting on the root on this. I feel like I want that on a stronger finger. I don't want that always to be my third finger. So in that case, I'm going to choose this fifth position as a starting place. Yeah, too muddy there. here. Too awkward. So, okay, so now we start there. Let's start in fifth position, see when do we need to change. Roll right there. Now, I'm automatically changing because I'm already thinking from that warm-up that I did, I'm already thinking that this is in this kind of alien position. In which case, I play the B down here on the 4th fret. I don't play the B out here on the 9th fret. That's not ergonomically good. That's how I would like to do it. So when it comes down here, that's a simple formation. 5-4-3-2-1, like with a G at the bottom. Okay, that's great. That's all right out of my fifth position C major. Out of this, it's all out of that. Now, what are we going to do here? Interesting problem. I can't say that there's any. I see a couple ways of fingering this right away. My intuition would lead me. See, I'm looking a little bit at the harmony of what's coming up, and I see the C major. Now, that C major could also be here, or it could be here. In general, I'm seeing this phrase coming up, and I'm seeing that it's starting. I want to start it with a strong finger as possible, if possible. Sort of like the first phrase where I wanted to go. Instead of starting with the third finger, I start with the first finger. Feels more like tactile, feels more correct. Yeah. Now, how do we get this? Is this... Well, if I want that E to be with the first finger, it's got to be here or it's got to be here. So obviously, it's not going to be all the way up here on this neck. This is too far. Okay, so this is a situation where there's something technical coming up that's going to be more specific about where it needs to be. So let's figure out where that needs to be, and from that, I'll work backwards and see where I need to play the bar before that, if that makes sense. I'm looking at bars 4 and 5. It's the first and second bars of the second system, and this is a straightforward kind of scalar thing. I could play any number of places, but this next thing is not like that. This is a more technical thing. Now, of course, you could use open string there, but we're not doing that style right now. We're doing all picking. So, if I was playing finger style, I might do something with like that. But right now, we're just treating it as data for picking exercises. So the question is, well, if the first finger uses it, it's going to be this. That's not bad. Now, if so, after I repeat something a few times, I can tell it magnifies, like if it's a bad fingering or not, it'll magnify it. So I can tell pretty quickly which fingering feels better. This one doesn't feel good to me. This part is okay. But to grab this G up there, too much effort. So I would say, and in this case, with this fingering, my first finger plays all the accented notes, or at least all the notes at the beginning of the phrase of each 16th. So the 2 and 3 can be the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. They can do that. Okay, so that's clearly the best way. There's not going to be anything up here. That's not going to work. So this is, to me, clearly the best fingering. which means I need to be down in the second position for that. So, which means the phrase before, that's not going to work the way I was playing it. In this sort of Aeolian mode. You know, so I'm going to need to switch to get down to my Mixolydian kind of position. So where can I do that? Clearly it's going to be here. I can go. The second finger can play the G, and then the second finger can play the F. It's a little, not great. Maybe if I could switch before that. Oh, nah, that's gotta just be there. So I'm gonna switch on that last beat of the fourth bar on this F. 2, 1, 2, 4. Now you get this little pattern. Now if I say, why am I not doing 1, 4, 3, 4? Wasn't that more proper than saying 1, 2, 1, 3, 2, 3? Yes. All I do is repeat it. They both work, of course, but the one, if I start off with this being strictly correct, like I'm in second position, then if I play this, if I play E and then I play a C, B, C, I should do that with 4, 3, 4. But then the next one is clearly just 1, 3, 2, 3, and the next one also 1, 3, 2, 3. So I want to have the same. I know it's going to flow better if I just use the same fingering for all three of them. So I'm just going to play this. Play off the first beat. Just play those with the 3, 2, 3 as well. So I'll just the E that I grab with my first finger, I just extend the first finger out and grab it like the. Each one of these bars, you could make it into a little just repeating loop exercise to warm up your hands. So now I'm here. Okay, that follows. I'm still in this position, so let's just stick with it. Okay, I get it, right? Now this is our string skipping picking here, where this comes in handy. Very hard to do this if you've never worked on that type of thing before. So what fingering? That seems all fine. 1, 3, 4, 3, 4, 3, 4, 3, 1, 3. So I keep the 3 on that the whole time. I keep finding my hand doing something else. What is it? Oh, look what I'm doing. I didn't really know what I was doing, so I was just seeing what my hand did by feel. So I might go 1, 2. This seems very strange, probably, but maybe I'm messing it up worse there. I can't decide now. So that one we'll have to. Oh, I see. Yeah. You could do it like this. Not easy. I'm going 1, 3, 1, 3, 4, 3, 4, 3, 1, 3, 1, 3, 1, 3, 1, 3, 1, 3, 1, 3, 1, 3, 1, 3, 1, 3, 1, 3, 1, 3, 1, 3, 1, 3, 1, 3, 1, 3, 1, 3, 1, 3, 1, 3, 1, 3, 1, 3, 1, 3, 1, 3, 1, 3, 1, 3, 1, 3, 1, 3, 1, 3, 1, 3, 1, 3, 1, 3, 1, 3, 1, 3, 1, 3, 1, 3, 1, 3, 1, 3, 1, 3, 1, 3, 1, 3, 1, 3, 1, 3, 1, 3, 1, 3, 1, 3, 1, 3, 1, 3, 1, 3, 1, 3, 1, 3, 1, 3, 1, 3, 1, 3, 1, 3, 1, 3, 1, 3, 1, 3, 1, 3, 1, 3, 1, 3-4-3-4-3-4-3-1-3. A lot of work for the pinky on that. Now, if you didn't want to do that and you wanted to anchor instead on the C with your second finger, you go. It's a little easier to get those high notes, but then it's harder to get that C in the first place. So you get a 1-2. Now, you could switch in the middle. Now, this is what I think I was doing. Just automatically. That I play normally 1-3-1-3. And now when I get here, then I put the 2 here. So this is what I'm doing. 1-3-1-3-4-3-4-2-3-2-1-2. It's a little strange. I can't tell you why, but that's what my hand is telling me to do. So sometimes I follow, rather than following logic, I follow what feels the best to do. And I do that by repetition and by acceleration. So let's see what happens. Oops, I'm messing up my picking. So this is exact same kind of, instead of. Now it's only the bottom note has changed, which makes it actually easier because you don't have to stretch for it. And the top notes change. So instead of, now it's, those are the two notes that changed. Now it's, so that can all just be played in the same place, third position. That's simple. Clearly an arpeggio of F major. Keeping the pinky up on the 4. Those are all logical choices. There doesn't seem to be anything better. I'm going 1-4, 1-4, 1-4, 3-4. Okay, this is working out pretty good. Then it goes back to this again. Okay, we've already done this. Section was just repeated, okay? So then we have. We'll stop on this. We'll stop on that one. On that last bar of the fourth system. So what's happening on the very last system? So you can see it's just these notes at the beginning that are outlining something, and everything else, these are kind of filling in on the beats. So we got those are the notes at the beginning of the phrases. Did I play the right note before? Straightforward, because we got, obviously you get the G here. I don't know where you get the A. Let's see. Yeah, you gotta get it down below. Then the D, then the F. Those are all right nearby. Those are all obvious choices. So that whole section is like, I a couple of notes in there. Obviously, I need to practice this. It's been a long time, but I'm telling you, that is not easy to get that clean every time. And this is kind of the opposite. That's why it's cool. And then you can accent these. Like a... Yeah, so that's... Okay, that's the beginning of that one. I better leave it off here. This video is getting quite long. So, what's the takeaway? The takeaway is try to find the fingering that feels the best, that you feel you could repeat without too much effort. And find the parts that look like they're going to be really be only possible one way. Like the more technical things, look for the spots that are the most technical to figure out where you need to be on the neck, because you don't want to be jumping all over the place, right? You want to kind of gradually move from one phrase to another. But a lot of these are not going to be available in very many places, so you look for those most technical spots and you can build the rest of the fingering around them. And this is in the realm of I'm going to practice this and work out a fingering. It's not really in the realm of I'm looking at this for the very first time and I just need to kind of get through it. That we all know how to do that. You just turn on the metronome and you just go. But this is more like, well, let's, how do we make our decisions about if we're going to perform something, you know? And so that's something to get folks started. And I'll be back soon with part two. All right. Well, that's it for today's episode. I hope you found it useful for your personal work. This podcast was produced by Ed Gavitt, with the original source being a video on Patreon. If you'd like to see this video, head on over to Patreon and search for Work with Miles Okazaki. If you go through a browser and sign up as a member, it's a very small fee. And if you like the convenience of the iOS app, it's just a little bit more. In any case, as a member, you have access to categories such as exercises for the guitar, things to download, things to practice, guided practice sessions where I practice and you play along, a category called the Language of Jazz where I go through standards and famous solos, transcriptions, listening sessions, and also a complete series on every composition by Thelonious Monk as it might be played on the guitar. I do detailed demonstration of material from my book Fundamentals of Guitar and have prepared special exercises and software even for members of the site. Every Sunday we sit down with some Bach, take a look at some violin sonatas, cello suites, inventions, well-tempered clavier, things like that. We work on sight reading, we work on listening, exercises to train your ear, exercises to train rhythmically off the instrument. And then as often as I can, I sit down and do a mailbag episode where I go through listener questions and answer them directly. We're having a lot of fun over there and I really hope you can join us. And thanks for joining us today on this podcast version and for your support of creative music. See you next time.